Get Sector 5 on the intercom, Stone said. 10 minutes later, the horrified Captain Morris had connected Stone to Robertson, the head of the President's Science Advisory Committee, who was in Houston. There then followed a heated discussion of the President's decision not to call a Directive 712. The President doesn't trust scientists, Robertson said. He doesn't feel comfortable with them. It's your job to make him comfortable, Stone said, and you haven't been doing it. Jeremy, I agree the bomb should have been dropped. Then work on him. Stay on his back. Get him to call a 712 as soon as possible. It may already be too late. Robertson said he would and would call back. Before he hung up, he said, By the way, any thoughts about the Phantom?
The what? Stone said.
The Phantom that crashed in Utah.
There was a moment of confusion before the wildfire group understood that they had missed still another important teleprinter message. Robertson explained what had happened.
We're waiting for information from them. It could come at any time.
Pass it along, Stone said, and then he stopped. If a 7-Eleven was ordered instead of a 7-12, he said, then you have troops in the area around Piedmont?
National Guard, yes.
That's pretty damn stupid, Stone said.
Look, Jeremy, I agree.
When the first one dies, Stone said, I want to know when and how, and most especially where. The wind there is from the east predominantly.
If you start losing men west of Piedmont, I'll call, Jeremy,
Robertson said. The conversation ended, and the team shuffled out of the conference room. Hall remained behind a moment, going through some of the rolls in the box, noting the messages. The majority were unintelligible to him, a weird set of nonsense messages and codes. After a time, he gave up. He did so before he came upon the reprinted news item concerning the peculiar death of Officer Martin Willis of the Arizona Highway Patrol. With the new pressures of time, the results of spectrometry and the amino acid analysis, previously of peripheral interest, suddenly became matters of major concern. It was hoped that these analyses would tell, in a rough way, how foreign the Andromeda organism was to Earth life forms. It was thus with interest that Levitt and Burton looked over the computer printout, a column of figures written on green paper. What all the data meant was simple enough. The black rock contained hydrogen, carbon, and oxygen with significant amounts of sulfur, silicon, and selenium, and with trace quantities of several other elements. The green spot, on the other hand, contained hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen. Nothing else at all. The two men found it peculiar that the rock and the green spot should be so similar in chemical makeup, and it was peculiar that the green spot should contain nitrogen, while the rock contained none at all. The conclusion was obvious. The black rock was not rock at all, but some kind of material similar to earthly organic life. It was something akin to plastic. And the green spot, presumably alive, was composed of elements in roughly the same proportion as earth life. However, it contained no amino acids.
No amino acids, Burton said. No proteins.
Life without proteins, Levitt said.
They were dealing with an entirely alien organism. In the room marked Morphology, Jeremy Stone removed the small plastic capsule in which the green fleck had been embedded. He set the now hard capsule into a vise, fixing it firmly, and then took a dental drill to it, shaving away the plastic until he had a pyramid of plastic with the green fleck at the peak of the pyramid. He unscrewed the vise and lifted the plastic out.